I have to do it. Christmas. This is the kind of message you lose your grandkids on, and the grandsons, and all that stuff. And here comes that time of year where the ho-ho-ho just isn't there, you know. And I like receiving stuff. I like people to try to buy me. I like that. I think that's kind of a neat thing myself. Here, have this. But we know. And we've been over Christmas over the years. We've looked at the details of it from a Christian standpoint, and everybody's kind of made their position. It's just kind of like I said even in Sunday school, that I'm going to look at the carpet here in a lot this morning. I'm not bugging anybody. We just have to talk about Christmas. And I've looked at so many things, and we can talk about Christ's birth. We can even talk about the season. We'll talk about that. We really will. But this morning, let's just look at Christmas. Here we are. We've learned what we've learned about the law with Paul's teachings, how Christ has fulfilled the law, and he's taken the law away in such a manner that we have no law to accuse us of sin. So our works will be judged, not our sins, because our sins have already been paid for through Christ. And that doesn't mean that we don't sin. That means that sin isn't being registered. He paid for that. That's why he had to die the way he did. So we know that. We're learning that anyway. And sin still exists. It's still in us. It's in our flesh. We choose to follow or we choose not to. It's a battle between our mind and the flesh. And we're living in a country where more often than not, the flesh wins. It just does. And we mentioned this morning in Sunday school that we're talking about taking a stand here on something in our lives. And I'm recognizing from a pastoral standpoint, or just a grandpa or a person or a father or whatever, a man, I guess, that most of what I'm seeing today is people are taking a stand on the fact that they're not going to take a stand because it's too judgmental. It spoils the friends. It spoils the family. It takes the fun out of the day. And I don't even know if I'm right anymore. And this, if I take a stand with Paul and the risen Savior, people don't know that. And on it goes. That's what I'm recognizing. Going through the stores and seeing Christians and hearing from people and looking at the students I've had in the past and what they're doing right now, we really are taking a stand against taking a stand. So, Christmas. We've been through it. We've looked at the details of it. We've talked about it every year. I look back at my sermons over at Christmas, and boy, I tell you what, if I'm not a Scrooge and a humbug, I don't know who is. You know, and everybody's going to do what they're going to do, and I'll tell you right now, it's not my place to judge about what other people do within their home. You'll never see a Christmas tree in this building if I'm here, that kind of stuff. You know, it's a tough time for a pastor, to me. It's a tough time for me. It just is. And we'll talk about it this morning, because how is it that we are supposed to look at things? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How do we look at Christmas? How do we look at anything? And the kids are going, yep, another year, even less presents. Boy, I'll tell you what, Pastor, every year you preach about Christmas, I keep getting fewer and fewer things, and it's just, you're spoiling this time of year. Now, I'm old enough, I'm not old, but I'm old enough to know that Christmas was like when I was a kid compared to what Christmas is like today. And some of you are old enough to know that Christmas really wasn't even really that big a deal, and you had oranges because we got oranges. Because in South Dakota, you couldn't have an orange in December. So when you got one, it was really a special thing. I was never thrilled with my orange, but I realize now why it was such a big deal. And you go back to the Depression days, you were probably happy to hang, you probably dug worms and let them dry in the sun for decorations on your tree. I don't know. They just must have been a terrible time, you know. Tie worms together and string them around the tree and then go fishing when we're done. No, Scott's not here. And this is a dad's call. This is a dad's decision. And the kids are going to look at you and go, what kind of a thing? So let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Why do I have 6:11? Because that certainly is what I'm looking for here. Yeah, 6:12. There we go. All things are lawful unto me. So we know that. We've learned that from Paul's teachings of the risen Christ. All things are lawful. Nothing is going to take away our salvation. Nothing is going to get the chastisement of God in the back of the head. The sin is not being imputed because there's no law that says that's a sin. But, he says, but all things are not expedient. Okay, so he says, listen, the law is taking, I've taken care of the law. All things are lawful. Do you mean to tell me I can go do such and such and such and such and such and such? Well, there's no scriptural law against that. However, you shouldn't do that. Why? It's going to affect your walk. It's going to affect your testimony. It's going to affect other people. Da, 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 da. We'll talk about those. We're going to look at Christmas this morning. Is it expedient? We can do Christmas. We can party hardy. You can act like an idiot. You can drink a bunch of eggnog. You can drink the booze. You can do all this stuff. He's paid for the penalty of those sins. But he says it's not expedient to do that. And it's not the right thing to do. It's not something that should be done. That's what it means about expedient. So let's look at some things here. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Are they still with us? In fact, Sam, when it blinks off, raise your hand every time, okay? And if you look like you're flying, I'm going to quit. Okay, you can stop. There's nobody's there this morning. This is not my annual grump about Christmas. But don't we know that this is how we're supposed to look at everything we do? All things are lawful. That's what he says. And we understand why. A lot of people, when they hear that, they won't understand. They're going to say, just like Paul was asked in the next verse, so then I can just go out and sin? And Paul says, God forbid. But you're missing the point. We said for an illustration, if the Governor Gregoire actually did one thing in her life that was halfway decent, she would take down all the speed limit signs. Get rid of the law about speeding. Does that mean I can go 300 miles an hour on my little Harley Smarley? No. Because if you hit a squirrel, it's going to be like hitting the wall. So no, it's not a wise thing to do at all. Yes, I did take down the speed limit signs, though. You know. And yet she went to court for all the speeding tickets that would ever have been given or will be given or whatever. Does that make sense? I mean, the speeding tickets were still paid. She paid them and then got rid of the law. She paid, so the thing was paid for, just like Christ has done. And again, if you don't understand that, boy, that is something that Paul will teach you that is absolutely phenomenally, exceeding magnifical, marvelous stuff. What Christ actually did when he died on the cross and walked the walk, fulfilled the law. So, we're going to look at Christmas here. I'll say it again, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says here, stand fast, Galatians 5, 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're not set free, we're made free. Huge difference. And he says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, see there, Pastor, you're going to put this Christmas guilt on us, and that's like bondage. Do we do Christmas? Do we not do Christmas? Do we do kind of Christmas? Do we do not a whole lot of Christmas, but for the others we will, and what do we do with Christmas? We're invited over to such and such's, and if we don't go, is that a bad testimony? It's just like, oh, I cannot wait for January 1st. But then we got all Lang Syne and all that stuff that we got to deal with, and the hoopty-doopties going on at midnight. Oh, it just goes on. Then you got Valentine's Day hearts and all this kids giving each other's hearts, which is so wrong today in this world of promiscuity. It's just the holidays. This is, what is going on here? Just stick with one. Stick with one day. We can stick with Christmas. They use the phrase celebrating Christmas. Well, what is Christmas basically bottom line? Christmas, Christ Mass. We don't do the Mass. We just don't do the Mass. We don't do Christ Mass. That is an unscriptural thing. So what do they call it when they do the Mass? They call it celebrate the Mass. Okay? So do we celebrate Christmas? Well, don't go down this road, Pat. This is a hard sermon to do because I know where we're struggling with stuff. But does it fit the liberty of Christ? Stand fast with Christ hath made us free. We don't have to hassle the Christmas thing. If you want to do Christmas, do Christmas. If you don't want to do Christmas, don't do Christmas. If you want to give me something, give me something. If you don't want to give me something, why not? What have I done? I don't want chocolates. But anyway, I want this place to continue. That's what I want. Okay. Does participating in Christmas, do you do Christmas? What do you mean, do Christmas? What do we do when we do Christmas? Are we partaking? Do we use the word partaking in Christmas? Is Christmas something? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Is Christmas something that as you grow as a Christian, you're going to understand more and more about this whole thing? So don't bug me now. Kind of a thing. I've come a long ways when it comes to Christmas. And I'll tell you what, when Christmas rolls around and we don't do much, there's so much in me of tradition and family memories and the whole thing that I still miss it. Or the preparations for it, or the foods and stuff we'll talk about here in a minute. Can we at least make tea rings? Can we make a couple cookies? I won't make them red, okay? And here I'm in my Christmas suit today. I do have a little white on me. And I read the other day where somebody says, I'm not fat, I just have a shape, and fat is shape. I'm okay, you know. So where are we at with all this stuff? Is it, look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, where Paul says, he's in verse 18. Where do I have verse 9 and 10? What did I say in 9 and 10 here? Oh, no, I got it, okay. Here we go. Look at verse 9 first. Is this what this Christmas is like for us? And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That was my whole point, of which I got off in the bunny truck. And I'm nervous of this thing today for some reason. Is this something we're just going to learn as life goes on? Like I said, we've done less. I've wanted to do less. We've done less over the years. I see more against it now. I go to the stores, and I actually just get grumpy about what I see in the stores over this Christmas thing. And now this year, we are so much more materialistic this year than we were last year. And last year was horrible, and the year before that was horrible. Now we're talking about believing. Just believe. Believe what? Christmas. Believe Santa. The whole thing is becoming a huge belief holiday. So that stirs me. Is it verse 18? Where Paul says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul was happy if a guy was preaching Jesus wrong, at least he was preaching Jesus. That's what he says there. Okay, Christmas. Yes, Jesus was born. He was a baby. And we're actually talking about that in the nation. Well, you know, really, they're hardly talking about that anymore. When I was a kid, I used to watch movies of the birth and the whole nativity scene and all that stuff, and I got to thinking, I don't think that's how that goes. But I still enjoyed the fact that this is about Jesus being born. And so, is this what Paul, is this, I preach this. Hey, at least it's not the Ramadan or whatever. We're having to get down at 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock or whatever and pray towards Mecca, which is common, because some places do it already, and they're trying to make it illegal. I'm not for making Christmas illegal. I'm not for changing Christmas America into an Islamic nation. I'm not into that. I don't want to be any other nation either. I don't want to bash some little paper animal hanging from the ceiling. I don't want to do that either. I still think, to me, and to, you know, the age thing, is still about Jesus being born. I've come to realize a lot of things. But that's what Christmas is supposed to be as far as the design of the holiday. Okay, is doing Christmas, as we would say, is it just an exercise in grace? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Are we just able to do it? So let's do it, and let's not make a big fuss about it, because God isn't going to slap us for it anyway. Ephesians chapter 2. Listen, I'll just read the Christmas story to the kids, and I'll tell them the truth about Christmas, and then we'll go on and we'll celebrate it the way it's designed, which is not true, kids. but we're going to do it because da-da-da. Now, again, when I was a kid, I'm joking. I used to hate that phrase. Now, when I was a kid, I got to that point. When I was a kid, I didn't get anything except for my birthday, for Christmas, and when I got a shot. I made such a fuss because I hated the pain of a shot that Dad would buy me a toy every time they drag me down to the clinic and tie me up and give me that shot. Or Christmas. Or my birthday. That was it. Nothing ever again, except for those. So it meant a lot. But today, oh, you kids get stuff weekly. You know? Anyway. Ephesians 2:7. This might go long, because I'm dragging this thing. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So can we just drop the subject here and let's just do Christmas because we got God's grace anyway? We know it's not all true. We know all the details are not there. But come on. Everybody does it. If you don't do it, you're going to look like some Amish person or something. You know? Maybe Amish probably even do it. I don't know. Who are the people that don't do the Christmas thing? Look at 1 Timothy 6. I don't know if they do that. Some people out there don't do it at all. We don't do it at all, I guess. We still do it. JW, there we go. You don't want to look like them? 1 Timothy 1:17, 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they may be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Did he give us Christmas? I mean, after all, it's supposed to be about when he was born as a baby. So I'm going to be that Christian. I'm going to make this stand. I'm going to make Christmas about Jesus when he was born and about this marvelous baby, this holy child, and these guys on the camels. And here's the story, children, and here's how it goes. We're not going to read out of the Bible because we can't quite understand that. Here's how the story goes. And then they proceed to tell the story untrue. If you've been over those, which we won't do this morning. The details, there's not one single item in that nativity scene that is biblical scriptural. Not one, except that he was a baby. The manger, the shepherds, the king, the wise men, the whole thing. It's not true. Sorry, Austin. Remember, listen. You are listening to a former Santa believer here. I was crushed. Fifth grade, mind you. I believed in Santa. I was crushed. Santa? Is Dad? Mom? What are you doing in there? They're eating my cookies that I left for Santa. I did the whole bit. I left the cookies and the milk and the whole thing for Santa. I always wondered how he's going to get in that oil burner pipe and come out that door, that's what he's going to... Listen, folks, I was there, so I really... It's like a Catholic preaching about salvation to a kid of the Catholic. He's serious, because he's been there. I've done the Christmas thing, and I was disappointed. Really, that guy doesn't exist. So don't be thinking, well, see, if it's okay, if he believed as a child, look at him now. You know? Listen, I believed in Disney. I believed in the castle. I mean, my childhood was one big fantasy. You think I'm grumpy? You know why I'm grumpy? Everything I was taught as a kid didn't exist. But Jesus Christ does. That's the problem. Okay, anyway. Did God give us Christmas for us to enjoy? Can we magnify Christ to Christmas? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I know Paul and Luke and Nathan and Stephen, I know, but I did. I just thought the guy was real. But then I thought Superman was real, and the Tooth Fairy, the whole bit, the Sandman guy that comes and sprinkles junk in your eyes, the Tooth, I believe all this stuff. My parents must have just had a party watching me. You know? I believed in the boogeyman. I don't know if I can say that. I used to believe in the boogeyman. I was one petrified little disappointed kid. Oh. before we go on, did anybody else here ever believe in Santa Claus? Come on, come on. Amen. Okay, good, good, good. Phew. Well, that makes it a lot easier, Jimmy. I can... Well, what can I say? Fifth grade is fifth grade. I'll tell you where I was at and who told me, too. Stuart Helgerson in his porch, I ran home crying and screaming. I remember that. Life is full of trauma. It just is. You never forget the hard stuff. Okay, get on to this here. It's getting late. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Is it possible? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. We believe that. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay, we're okay with that. And it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Is that Christmas? Is that what we're supposed to do? Is it an unfruitful work of darkness? We know it's not scriptural. He did manifest himself in the flesh, yes, but all the details from that point on are not true based on scriptures. So is it a work of darkness? Unfruitful? Look at what it's turned into. Look at what Christmas has done. You know, Christmas wasn't even celebrated in early America. I mean, they didn't even do it. Just not there. I think even it was against the law for a while or something in some states or whatever. It started to kind of come on this day. Hey, we're not doing Christmas in this state. Something like that. Okay. Now look at Ephesians 4:25 for another smack. I was really bothered by the stove. I was really scared for the poor guy. That was rough. You're going to get all sooty and smelly from the oil that was in there? I just never could figure that one out. I think we had to turn it off Christmas Eve because I'm dead. I don't know how he's going to do this, but he's got to come through there. Okay, son, we'll turn the stove off and freeze our pipes tonight. Not a problem. Ephesians 5:9. No, what did I say? 4:25, there we go. See, it's still shaking me that I think that, you know. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying. Now, verse 25, put away lying. 24 talks about putting on the new man. We're a new creature. We're created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Is Christmas a lie? Is it truth? If we're to put away lying, which none of us have, by the way, totally. Oh, excuse me, I haven't, but y'all have? Come on. Somebody said, how do I look? And you wanted to throw up. You know, you like this dress? Well, yeah, if your middle name is Shamu or something. I mean, you know, you had to lie to people. The dinner tastes good tonight. Oh, it was marvelous. We're going to have it again? I hope not. I mean, we lie for our safety. Shame on us. We're still supposed to put away lying. But we have grace. So, no, I did not cut down the cherry tree, Mom. Christmas. Is it just another one of the lies we're going to teach our children because they're going to grow out of it eventually? Okay, here's what we do. We're going to ask ourselves these questions. Oh, I forgot to hit the button. I have no idea. Here we go. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's ask ourselves these questions because this is what we're supposed to ask about things that we do. I'm not saying is Christmas a sin because sin has been taken care of. Nowhere does it say Christmas is a sin. Not doing Christmas is not a sin either. I mean, what do you do? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 starts up again. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful. He says it again. All things are lawful for me. But, so the first one we're going to look at, I will not be brought under the power of any. So if anything that we're going to do, if we can't stop doing it, that's the problem. Are we going to tip a few social drinks? Then after a while, you can't quit. That's the problem. If we're going to light up, and it's going to destroy your body, blah, 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 whatever, so does five sandwiches. But if you can't stop lighting that critter, that's the problem. If you're under its power. You turn on the TV, and you can't turn off more than a half hour or a couple hours, and it drives you nuts. That's the problem. That's the problem of TV, among other things. Christmas. Are we under the power of Christmas? I don't know. Have you ever tried not to do it? You ever talked about it with your family or friends or relatives? We're not going to do Christmas this year. Your wife. Have you ever not done the Christmas cards? Well, you got to send out some. You haven't talked to them for a year. And they send you their life and sob stories about they've got this injury and this disease and all this kind of stuff. And they write and tell you how they've had a raise and their boss likes them and all this kind of stuff. They talk in the third person singular. Well, Jim and Mary went, and this Mary just writes, oh, I hate that stuff, you know. Whatever. I mean, people can do what they do. It's okay. Whatever. But have you ever tried not to do it? And you say, we're not going to do it this year. Are your relatives really happy to hear that you're taking a good stand on Christmas? No, they're not. What about the guilt? Because you still want to, you know, I don't like lists of what I want for Christmas. Here's what I need. Here's my sizes. Here's my China number down at Macy's. All that kind of stuff. I've had people give me presents that are so unneeded that I thought were just the coolest things in the world. But back when we first got married, we had zero money. We needed some serious things in our lives. And Mom got me this Mexican, down in Mexico, a rope, I think I told you this, rope, but y'all haven't heard this, so you got to put up with it, this rope lion. And we needed some things. I thought that rope lion was just the neatest thing. That's why you find I would want to find something, you know what? This is Louis. I got to get this for Louis. This is totally Louis. I won't say what it is. This is totally Louis. This, oh, you know, Paul would like this, and I know Luke would like this. Wait a minute, this is $9.95 and this is $7.95. I got to find something else to balance out the price, so they're both $9.95. Amen. Yeah, we go through that stuff. And what'd they get you last year? It was $39.95. So then this year we got to get them something that's $40 or higher. We go through this stuff. But have you ever tried not to? Have you ever gone so far as to not get somebody something, and then Christmas rolls around and thinking, you know, I should have got something. Oh, I should have got something, you know. If I can tell this, I don't know, I'm going to try. When we don't have any money and somebody says, you don't have to give me anything for my birthday, men, don't believe it. Get a napkin and write I love you on it or something. I just didn't. And I didn't. I did. I think it took me a couple times to learn that one. And don't mean it's not a bat. It's just, have you ever tried not to do Christmas? Ever not send out the cards? What do you do? Send them out in January. You get a bunch of belated Christmas cards. You send them out in January. How much money is stamps going to cost you? Let's see. We got internet. We got 100 people out there. We got 150. We got our family. Da 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 da. Which I've written through for years. Or every year we do this and. You know, $50 for $100 for stamps. We don't have $100 for stamps. But if we don't send them a Christmas card, we won't get one next year from them. Bummer! But that's not how we're supposed to be. I understand that. I don't know, we have more relatives today than y'all have when you were younger. I don't think you had many relatives. It seemed like we got huge lists of people we should be writing to. Have you ever tried not to do that? Well, why should I have to do that? Well, A, you didn't draw the picture, and the picture on the Christmas card is not scripturally true either. And the saying on the inside, just, you don't even talk like that. And the Bible verse they use probably isn't King James, but you can slap an ugly sticker crooked over that verse, and you can put a King James verse on there. That'll impress them. But if we don't do it, what's it like? You ever sat down, okay, kids, we're going to sit down, we're going to do Christmas, we're going to sit down, time to do the presents, you know? Okay, sit down, do the presents. Ah, kids coming in, ah, ready to go at this thing. And you say, we're going to stop and read the Christmas story. You wonder why your kids hate God? You know, I mean, that whole thing? We're laughing because we have all done this stuff. We're going to get through this Christmas season somehow. Honey, you're going to read the Christmas story. Okay. How's it go? Something about, everybody knows it. We're going to have a Christmas program, and the kids, How does it start, the Luke 2 thing? I should know this. We heard it for 80,000 years. And it came to pass. Everybody turn. Come on, you're going to have fun today with this thing. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Where's the one where everybody, they kind of emphasize the thing here? That's just a me thing, huh? I don't know. Yeah, Luke 2 is where we start the whole thing. And listen, you've got to talk to little kids about babies and stuff. That's even kind of scary with this whole scene, you know? And what if you want to read a story about, was it Elizabeth and Zacharias? You get into that stuff. How many know that story? I'm getting ahead of myself here. I thought there was and it came to pass in those days that there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. There's some kind of a thing that kids get into the rhythm of. I don't remember how that is. Remember at all? It was a different Christmas program or something. 2-1, is that? Yeah. And you're just taking videos, and the kids grow up with cameras in their face their whole life, and they're starting off with a little shepherd and stuff. You ever tried not to do that? I'll get on with it here. You're going to be called, why is Ebenezer such a popular thing today? Because there are Scrooges like us around here. Marley, you know, and that's in Isaiah. The change is in Isaiah, not Jacob Marley, but the design of that story is in the Bible. So this whole Christmas thing has flavors of truth that's been twisted. So when the kids realize there is no such person as Jacob Marley, and they can't do that sort of a thing, and there is no Santa, and all these things. And then the parents come along and they tell you about this Jesus and all the stuff that he did. And, well, he's better than Santa because he had actually paid for your presents. Well, Santa made them for free. Santa's up in the north. Then I remember, don't you dare talk about Santa with my kids. Are you talking about Santa Claus this morning? We're not coming to church this morning. I mean, Shoney still doesn't know. You're not going to mess, you're going to spoil my kid. I'll deal with it my own way. You hear this stuff all the time. Back in Las Vegas, our Christian school back there, and the kindergarten teacher, who I was principal of, I got to do this now, told everybody in kindergarten Santa Claus was a lie and he was Antichrist. Ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding, I have more phone calls, you know what to do. Well, he isn't real, but you're not going to tell my kid that. Fine. There goes the school. You know? Whatever. Does it have a power over us? Try to quit 1 year. Just try it. Wait till your kids are gone and grown up, and you can barely even get a present wrapped, and say, I just don't have the health or the money to do Christmas. That's the easy way out. Okay, so there's one. Does it have power over you? That's your question. If it has power over you, we got a problem here. Okay, so that doesn't work. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Am I trying to get you to not do Christmas this year? No. I want stuff. That's my flesh. I want, feed my flesh. Man, Lou, I got a Civil War guy. I got a tractor from you guys and hang on to this stuff. And it's got the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they kind of quit a little bit. Now, you know, I feel pretty bad. Well, if you wouldn't preach like you preach every Christmas, we would do some better things for you. Anyway. And Marcy goes, see, I knew he was hurt. No, you just, it's Christmas is a strange time. And you're acting like it. I know I am. It's a difficult thing to talk about Christmas. 5:13. Here's another one. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Yeah. Amen. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Okay? Do we do Christmas to enjoy our flesh, to feed our flesh, occasion for flesh? Do we want to do this because, well, listen, we got grace, we're on this earth, we got to do this kind of a thing, and they like this? I like going into debt. It's really fun spending money I don't have. Let's buy some stuff for these people. Look at verse 7. You got to have this because this is just so them. And they need this. I know they need this. Verse 7.
Galatians 5, verse 7 to 18. Sure. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? That certainly isn't what I want. We'll skip that one. Look at 24. What's in 24? There we go. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Does the Spirit of God lead us to do Christmas? Does He want us to give all these things to all these people? Does He want us to play that game? Does He want us to take our work vacation for those that don't believe in Christmas? I've always asked that. Okay, listen, you don't believe in Christmas? Hey, fine. You going to work on the 25th? You should go to work on the 25th. Why should you take a holiday for those of us that believe in Christ and that kind of a thing, right? That's a question. Foods. This is flesh stuff now. Foods. What are we all worried about with Christmas? Now, don't let me make you mad now just because we're talking about Christmas, Dave. Come on. Oh, okay. What about foods and Christmas? You know what we're all worried about right now. We barely got through Thanksgiving, and now we got Christmas coming up. Every cookie, every color, every kind of dough, everything's going to come by our way. And where are we going to stop at? Did you lose a little weight before Christmas so you can enjoy Christmas and get back to where you started? Is that a flesh thing? I want to make tea. Remember a number of years ago I made you all tea rings, and I risked my life to take you yours? Because I never did the black ice thing, and I was driving around, and it's like, well, this is really slippery. You can't see a thing. It's just slippery. I'm sliding all over the place. Marilyn's trying to, we had no cell phone yet. Where's Mike? We're supposed to be home with Christmas with the family, if I remember right, something like that. And I'm delivering you this tea ring. I'm going to get stuck in the ditch, and they're never going to find me till Sunday on the way to church. Hey, isn't that pastor's car over there? Look at that thing hanging on the steering wheel. Just frozen to death, you know. I love Christmas foods. Peanut brittle. Best peanut brittle in the world. So far, we're 0-2. But we're working on it. We have a different microwave, so we're not used to this. Peanut brick is what came out of there. Sorry. Oh, this is just not going the way. I hate preaching about Marcy, you got to settle down. Okay. I'd like to have Christmas cookie night with the kids. But you know how it is to make Christmas cookies with kids? You got these 10 kids hanging around getting in trouble, waiting for this 5-second sprinkle, and they're done. Now what do you do with these kids the rest of the day? It's a hard thing, but it's fun. Our house used to have cookies hanging from broomsticks. Remember broomstick cookies? You know the broomstick cookies? You lay the broom across and these things curl up. They look like little doilies. You know what that's called? Anybody know what? You know? And they're really good. Powder all over these things. Yeah, you got to have this gumdrop castle, this house that you can't eat for 20 years. You know? And 20 years later, Dad finally says, okay, let's eat the house. Are you kidding? It's a rock. So anyway. How can you hate Christmas? You had a lot of fun. I really did. But it's not true. That's what we're dealing with, you know, from that standpoint here. Drinks, okay? You get into the alcohol thing. I didn't know my parents drank except on holidays, but I was not allowed under the kitchen sink. I finally found out why. That's where the stuff is at for holidays. You got the eggnog. Gay! And how many here like eggnog? See? Yeah. I don't know how you can do that kind of a thing. And there's 50 million calories per gulp, is that correct? About eggnog? And you complain about being fat. What is this? If there's any reason not to do Christmas, it's just for the flesh. It's just a flesh activity. Party. Let's get together and play games. Don't go there. I know how ladies act when they play games. They forget that they're supposed to be Christians. They forgot what Paul wrote. And they start getting loud and the thing, and the guys are going, hey, honey. Or it's just... I don't like it. It's wrong. I got the word bug. I think it must be buy. Yeah. Buy and spend gifts. My list complaint. Here's what I want for Christmas. What is this? Who do you think you are? If you're happy, get new socks. I mean, come on, kids. Kind of a thing. Anyway. The music. The music is very few of the Christmas songs. There's lies in all of them. We'll get to those later on here. We got time. We're gonna take the time, so just enjoy yourself. The songs are emotional. I mean, I could finish the piano playing at the nurse home. If I finish a Silent Night, but it doesn't go, then we'll just, there we are. Music has done that to us. Very emotional stuff. Have you listened to the Christmas music yet this year? Every year it just gets worse and worse and worse. Okay, musically, we can't sing them. Musically, hardly anybody can play them. They got 15 sharp, 46 flats in this stuff. They're in a horrible key. I don't know why that is. And if you look at the words, they're not right. So what are we doing? Playing a lie. So if it's an occasion for the flesh, we shouldn't do it. Is there a way to do Christmas where it doesn't have a power over us and we are in total control? And is there a way to do Christmas and not feed our flesh and enjoy, because we still have flesh, we still have to enjoy it. And there's nothing better than, you know, white dough, cinnamon, raisins, and butter. All wrapped into one, eaten raw. And don't go by the heater, because you stand there, you just start rising yourself. Tastes really good. Is anything wrong with that? No, except on the 9th and the 10th end, then it's a problem. Right? Otherwise, hey, what's a cookie? Don't need to make a Santa cookie. Don't need to make a triangle. Don't need to make a star. Don't need to make a tree. You can make a reindeer. Paint his nose blue. But we know there's no red ones either. You get into the poinsettia. Well, you give the kid a poinsettia and he'll die. You can stand under that little rag, the little weed that hangs under the doorway. Well, that's not supposed to be right. That's not something you do. You dig out the traditions of Christmas and you find out where they came from, and you wouldn't want to do any of it. Where this stuff came from is terrible. Is it a fleshy thing? Boy, oh boy. Uh-oh. I have to do part three tonight. One, two, three, two, three, two. Uh-oh. Well, aren't you lucky? One, two, three, four, five, six. What'd you do, Olivia? You didn't want to hear this, did you? Okay, let's look at, I'm going to look at Galatians. Now we're in trouble. I'm going to wing this thing, Jimmy. You mean you wrote notes of what you've been talking about? Let's look at Romans 14. How are we doing for time? Maybe we need to continue this tonight here. I can't believe that I don't have one, two. Okay. You're relishing this, aren't you? He left half his notes in his office. Okay, we're looking at, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, there we go, 1 Corinthians 12. Look at another one here. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 12, 23 here. Well, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts, uncomely parts, have more abundant comeliness. What we're looking for here, this deals with the body. And I can't think of the verse because I don't have it written down and my memory is horrible. But it talks about it must edify. I think that's 1 Corinthians 6. Nope, 1 Corinthians 6. My notes are wrong in my Bible even. It's supposed to edify. Okay, edify the body of Christ. That's us. What do we get out of Christmas? If we does it edify? What does it teach us? What does it teach us that's correct? Well, let's see here. Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zacharias. How about Simon, Simeon? What do we do with Simon? Simon says, ever heard that? And who's Simon? Who's a Simeon? Simon guy. Well, he's the guy that said this is the Christ when he was born. And how about Anna? You know who Anna is? What does she have to do with the Christmas story? Anna was a prophetess. At the very end of the whole Christmas story, she says, yep, this is the Christ. She knew who this was. Anna. How many knew that? See? Bethlehem. Wise men. The manger. The way we picture these things, the manger. Is there an innkeeper in here? Shepherds. The star. We talked about the eastern star. There's a whole demonic Masonic thing brought on that star stuff. Angels. And they're trying to show what that star was, but the scientists by going, well, it really wasn't a star pointing down, that it happened to be a meteor or something that was going that way or something. They're trying to disprove this stuff. I mean, they're in here, not the innkeeper, but that stuff is in there, but not the way it's portrayed. Angels, kings, mean kings. How about, does anybody, you've heard me say this, is there a Christmas program in this country anywhere where they kill a bunch of kids? Remember, I've always wanted to do a Christmas program. You do the regular program thing. Lights go down up in the back. There's a shadow of the screen thing and behind it, and they show a kid getting killed because that's what they did. Herod did that, right? So why don't you put that in the Christmas program? Again, Christmas card pictures, the music, that type of thing. How about some of these songs? Silent Night, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Away in a Manger. Heard these things? Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the Burger King commercial. Anybody know what song that is based on? I've been trying to think of it for days. I cannot think of it. Would you like the fries with that? Is that the song? Maybe I sing the wrong tune. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Christmas Bell sung the Burger King thing. Probably still on this year. Yeah. Okay, see? Would you like some fries with that? Would you like some fries with that? It's a funny song. We cannot keep that thing out of our mind. I just forget the song that it was based on. Oh, Holy Night. Was it a holy night? Oh, Come Emmanuel, Drummer Boy. Remember any band at this thing, you know? How about, O Come All Ye Faithful, it came upon a midnight clear. We are the three kings of Orient are, while shepherds watch their flock by night. Joy to the world. Tribulation song, that millennium song, that. They can't sing that. He hasn't come yet. The Lord is come. Angels from realms of glory. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. There's a song in the air. And then I kept thinking of this one called Good King Wenceslas. You ever heard of Good King Wenceslas? How many have heard it? Yeah. Okay, what is this Good King Wenceslas? So I looked it up. I don't either. I didn't either. Here's what this thing is about. Good King Wenceslas is a popular Christmas carol about a king who goes out to give alms to a poor peasant on the Feast of Stephen. It's the second day of Christmas for Lutherans. During the journey, his worker, is about to give up the struggle against the cold weather, but is enabled to continue by the heat miraculously emanating from the king's footprints in the snow. This guy's going to starve and freeze to death. The king, the mighty king that is, walks by and leaves miraculous little footprints in the snow. And the guy goes through 3 steps in the snow, and he gets to live in the whole thing. I'll tell you what, if I was freezing to death in a blizzard in the snow, and some guy walked by and said, step in my footsteps or show you to get home or whatever, I would want some heat, I would want some food or something. But my miraculous, this is a good King Wenceslas. These are just things that are just amazing that's taking place that we all just accept today. Look at Jeremiah 10. And you'll hear people talk about this all the time. Yes, no, no, yes. This isn't. It can't possibly be. Christmas didn't exist yet. It doesn't matter. We'll have to quit here pretty quick, time-wise, but Jeremiah chapter 10. Oh, don't go there, Pastor. This doesn't say Christmas tree. Thus saith the Lord in verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, V-A-I-N, it's a waste. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them that do good. Okay, now, that can't be a Christmas tree, Pastor, because none of us nail it to our floor. That's what it says, fastened with nails and with hammers. Well, maybe it won't tip over this year. It's dead and just nails that critter to the floor. How many have ever tipped over a tree? Well, of course, you know, that's just what you do. If you have a dog or a cat or a goat around, your Christmas tree doesn't stand a chance. And you ever deck it? Deck with silver and gold? You know? Yeah. Okay, so, but that can't possibly be that. I mean, besides that, it's Old Testament. We got God's grace. That's right, we do. Look at Revelation. What's coming in the future? Revelation chapter 11. We got these two guys, these witnesses, that are telling the truth about the Lord is coming back. It's during the tribulation. And they kill these two guys, Moses and Elijah. And they're so happy about it. In chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. Now look at, we'll start with verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. So let them lie there dead, and they that dwell upon the earth, through television, I suppose, I would think, shall rejoice over them and make merry, M-E-R-R-Y, and shall send gifts one to another. Is this Christmas? No, this isn't Christmas, but look at what we do in Christmas. We take a tree that the heathen says we should nail that critter to the floor and deck it with stuff, and do we don't worship the Christmas tree. I don't know. I let my kids sleep under that thing. And when I look at a Christmas tree with no glasses, it looks like colors of the rainbow just absolutely everywhere. And it can be really pretty. You get all white tree bulbs, you get all blue tree bulbs, you put angel hair. We have a great time doing this thing, the tinsel stuff. Either you throw it or you hang it, depends upon if you got patience or not. And do we worship this stuff? We don't get up in the morning, good morning, Mr. Tree. We don't do that. But do we still, can we do without it? Let's have Christmas without a tree. I mean, how bad do we have to do this stuff? And this thing about making merry and giving gifts, that's a type of in the Revelation, times of Revelation, the tribulation, they're going to be so happy to have killed those two guys since they're going to be merry and give gifts. It's just, these are things that are taking place within Christmas. Do we see what's happening with Christmas over the years? You got to be, listen, just think what some of you folks have been through the history of Christmas. How it's done what it's done in your life. You've seen it really honestly try to be a Christmas story about the birth of Jesus. I mean, there he is. He's being born. Where does it say to celebrate his birthday? Well, it doesn't say that, but we are. And it's about Jesus, and we've always said this, it's an opportunity to give out tracts. Are the tracts we're giving out true? Do people want to hear that anymore? What's happening? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Almost done, because I think we're late. I think we're kind of late. I don't know. 11:40, we started. We started 48. Okay, well, we're on par here. You're used to this. Some of you aren't, but... I suppose you know that according to the minute and second, too, don't you, Dave? I mean, you've been doing this for 40 minutes and 24 seconds. Colossians chapter 2. Now, I get this whine in my voice, too, because what am I going to accomplish this morning? I don't know. Look at Christmas according to the way we're supposed to. Is it going to, we'll talk about two more tonight. Is it a power in your life? Then it's wrong. If it doesn't control you, then make your decision. If it's an occasion to the flesh, is it just a fleshy thing that we're going to do? Well, we do a lot of fleshy things. That's true. Is it edify? Does it teach truth to our children? Does it teach truth to people? Is it going to please God? Does he want us to do this? Well, he doesn't want us to do a lot of things that we do. But he allows it. I know. I understand that. So what's the answer? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at a warning here. He does warn us in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Okay, well, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's a warning. Is this applicable to Christmas? Is it applicable to Christmas? Look at Romans 14. We'll go up to verse 5. Now, for those that might still be like, what do you folks do here? What are you talking about? I would say that this is the answer to what about Christmas. But I want us to consider the fact we can't do Christmas. I mean, there's not a law that says we can't do that as Christians. But is it expedient? Should we? And if not, how much of it shouldn't we do? If we do, how much of it should we do? It's a tough question. This is between you and God. How much have you grown with your risen Savior through Paul's teachings? Where are you at? What if you have a different status for where you want to do Christmas within your family? How do you deal with that? All sorts of things. Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Okay? Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So I have said in the past, if you're going to do Christmas, do Christmas. If you're not going to do Christmas, don't do Christmas. Don't feel bad about it. If you're going to do Christmas. Don't feel bad about it. Somebody comes over and says, we don't do Christmas. Well, I'm happy for you. We do. And would you like a cup of coffee? Don't worry about it. Is that what it is? Look at verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. So if you cannot do Christmas for God to get the glory, don't do Christmas for God to get the glory. If you're going to do Christmas for God to get the glory, do it so God can get the glory. My question is, can you do Christmas and give God the glory? When none of it's true, other than he was born. Is it an occasion to the flesh? Does it really edify our kids, our people that were around? Keep going. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? They do Christmas. You can't play with them anymore. Is that possible? Does it have value? Possibly. Because if you're going to choose not to do something as a family, you don't really want to pour the food to the flesh to your kids and let them go somewhere else and find out how fun life can be when they got to come back home to your place and be miserable. This is tough stuff, isn't it? Christmas really is a hard time. It's becoming more difficult. Why is it so hard? Because of the lie of Christmas to me. It's a lie. Simple as that. It's a fun holiday. They don't even call it Christmas in the schools. It's winter break or winter holidays or something. There was a college the other day that said no Christmas decorations in the halls in the school at all. I'll bet you they got other ones, though. I bet they got some Hanukkah candle things, whatever those are, the candelabras, whatever, and they got the Islamic stuff. They got the Satan worshippers. They got the rainbow people. They got all these kind of people doing whatever they do for their holidays, but they can't do Christmas. So that tells me there's something else behind all this stuff. And we know enough about the Bible that talks about a world religion. We know that this Bible is going to have to be about it. This world religion is going to have to be about a Christ. He's not going to come and say, "Here I am, the Antichrist." We know he's not going to say that. He's going to come and say, "I am the Christ." And he's going to fix everything that we've botched up so much. And you can bet you he's going to think Christmas is a great time. Because it's not true about his beginnings. And it puts an emphasis on a baby. Just like in the movie Lion King. He's not a baby anymore. He doesn't want us to worship him as a baby. He's our Savior. He was their Messiah. They killed him. And we do that over Easter. And whatever. Keep going here. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Okay, if somebody doesn't do Christmas, fine. If somebody does Christmas, fine. Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, see, Lord, we didn't do Christmas. And he's going to get you for conceit and pride. The works of Christmas. The work of not doing Christmas pridefully is still going to burn? That make sense? The work of doing Christmas is going to burn, because he said, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't like that. There were lies being taught about me. That's Bob, and we know that sort of a thing. So that work will burn. We won't. Our soul won't. That's not the issue. But if we don't do Christmas, and if we don't do Christmas properly, that can burn too. This is what he's saying right here. For it is written in verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. But see, you've got to still judge the situation. Why? Because it's not expedient. Does it edify? Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Is it going to be used as an occasion for the flesh? We've got those strings to look at. And that's how I want us to look at Christmas this year. Believe it or not, unless I hope my whole attitude changes and my whole desire to change, I got some things I want to talk about that deal with Christmas. That's true. That's real. It's true. Not about Christmas, but about the Savior. Should be an interesting time. Unless I lose my notes again. And here's one more thought, and we'll finish it up tonight. I just found this on the internet today. Wait, I got to finish reading that thing. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We'll get some illustrations of that tonight. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Do Christmas? Do Christmas. If you don't want to do Christmas, don't do Christmas. But I know we wrestle with it because of our kids. I know we do. And it really is nothing but man's tradition. When do we draw that line? Now, here's something. You remember the Advent season thing, the candles, the four candle thing and all that? It was a Lutheran deal. We used to give the four candles and go to church, and the last candle, we come back, and then I get to open my presents, kind of a thing. And it's a tradition. There's nothing in here that says light four candles before Christmas and all that. It's not in here. I mean, it just is not in here. And if anybody does it, you know, whatever. But it's still man's tradition. And he warns us about what tradition can do to us. What do you think has happened to a lot of people in their stand? I think tradition has worn us down to making some stands. Here's an article that came up, Evangelicals, which I don't believe we're an evangelical. We're a Bible-believing, rightly dividing, King James Bible-believing church. You can call us evangelical if they want, whatever. But it says that this is a huge popularity this year, and that's the rituals of Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, that are celebrated by Catholics, Lutherans, Eastern Orthodox, and other liturgical churches. They're given a new personalized spin to prayers, candles, and calendars, trying to build a spiritual tone through tradition, through little ritualistic things. We don't do that, but it's happening more and more. An article here about all that kind of stuff that said, couple things I saw that is a prayer thing. The Power of Christmas Prayer is a new book. Veggie Tales is doing a Merry Christmas thing. Huge sales on Advent candles and wreaths and that type of a thing. The candles set out each week for hope, faith, joy, and love. See, and that's good stuff. Hope, faith, joy, and love. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you realize that the devil's out there tricking people and they're going to follow him and he shows up and he's going to be preaching righteousness, his people are ministers of righteousness. They're just not. He's not teaching God's righteousness, he's teaching man's. And what could be so wrong about teaching people to be gooder people, better people? What's wrong with that? Oh, nothing, but it doesn't lead you to the truth. And it doesn't lead other people. It's not a testimony. We're supposed to have a proper, effective testimony. Do we fight the battle that not doing Christmas can hurt somebody's our testimony because they don't understand it? Right? I mean, that's part of our battle. Do we become a good testimony or become a bad testimony? Or don't we become a good testimony or a bad testimony? What do? Look at the liberty of Christ. We don't have it. It's not a law not to do it. Ask those questions. Does it cause somebody to stumble? Occasion to the flesh? Edify? Expedient? And put you under the power of it. We'll look at some more of that tonight. I didn't mean to yak so long on the first stuff, but I enjoyed Christmas. That's not the point. This is not easy to knock. I think you should grow with the Lord, you'll wrestle with this stuff more.